Welcome to Living the Messiah's Love. I'm your host, Kamisha Lucier, and I'm so glad to be with you today and back in the Word of God. My beloved, I'm so thankful to have you in my life, and I'm grateful that you're here. So welcome, darling, and welcome to the listeners.
Well, thank you, honey. Glad the Lord put you in my life as well. My helpmate. As the Lord said, very direct, helpmate. So...
Well, I'm grateful for his decision making. So thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. Before we get into this episode, let's take a moment in prayer and pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are and your faithfulness. We can never thank you enough for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your compassion and the joy that you share with us from your own heart. And we just love you, Lord. We love you. We welcome you and we embrace you, Lord Jesus. We embrace you, Messiah. We embrace your ways. We embrace your covenant with us. We embrace your guidance. We embrace everything about you. And we just exalt you in our eyes. And we remember that you are God and there is no other. And there's no other name given unto men by which we can be saved. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful and that you're enough. Minister to your children, Lord God, wherever they are around this earth and whatever time and season of their life that they're in, minister to them, Lord. Minister your joy, your strength, your hope, your faithfulness, and your love. And we just thank you for all that you're doing for them. And we surround them with faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is your love, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you do not fail. Your word never quits and it does not grow old and it does not get weary. And we just appreciate you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' almighty name. Oh, and release your provision to your children and your anointing to them, your anointed ones, Lord. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, this episode, we are going to talk about the blood. The blood of Jesus. We haven't head-on addressed it yet. And as we've been walking through each segment, just one by one, pace by pace with the Holy Spirit as he gives utterance, this is what he has next in line. So we've talked about prayer. We've talked about strategy of warfare. We've talked about... The head down, the top down chain of command and the authority and how that flows and how to stay connected. Now we're going to talk about a resource that is so dynamic to us as God's warriors. It is a part
of... It's a resource,
of,
but it, can we just call it what it is? It's a weapon.
That's right. That's what I was also going to say. It is absolutely a weapon. It's a tool and it's something that... Sometimes we only think of it as salvation, and we use the blood of Jesus in a proverbial sense, something that's a far off and distant, and it's inanimate, and it's not. The blood of Jesus is living, it's active, and it's powerful, and it has a particular role to play as a weapon, as you said, in our arsenal. So we're going to start with our springboard scripture of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You want to go to 7:14 first?
No. Can we go to verse 10 first?
Oh, of course, honey. Of course. Of course. Let's do it.
All right.
However the Lord's ministering to you. Let's go.
It says, this is Revelation 14, beginning of verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory to God. So, let that sink into your heart. Let that sink into your heart. The thing that causes us to overcome the adversary, right? And we already learned that the target of our warfare is who? The adversary, Amen. The devil, the same one that's referenced in verse 10. So thank you for reading that, darling. Thank you for letting the Holy Spirit minister to you. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We've been talking about our mouths, our words. What are we saying? Are we aligning our mouths with the Lord in faith and believing what the Holy Spirit is conveying to us? or not, right? And we also talked about the truth factor, having that integrity in our speech so that our creative power that the Lord has wanted and desired and designed to flow through us has a free pathway and channel. But now we have a new component, the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's not just for salvation, which that is a part of it. And if you look at the word salvation on whole, the Lord delivering us from the power of the adversary, yes, but the part in verse 11 that says it's their word, the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. So the individual that was enjoying that salvation, experiencing that, had to confess themselves that the blood of the Lamb was applied to their life.
Amen.
Because the blood
which came through Jesus the Christ, amen, the Messiah,
the Lamb slain before mm-hmm. the foundation of the world. That is the power of his Christ, right? We covered that. That is the Messiah. But the blood has been shed once for all. So Jesus, we talked about this before, he's not coming to get on the cross for Bob and then making a separate trip, going through the whole birth and all that, living and growing up into a man and do the ministry for 3.5 years and being beaten and his beard torn out and all that jazz and crucified again and then going to hell and being raised again for each individual person. He did it once for all. Amen. So it's our particular testimony that applies it to our life. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the blood of Jesus is something that is alive. It's powerful, and you can see what it did in the face of the adversary when we apply it to our lives, right? The blood is doing what it's supposed to do. And it's, I want to say, it's an impenetrable force. It is a barrier around us that cannot be overcome. It cannot be punched through. It cannot be averted. Like, you can't find a back way around it. When the blood is applied to your life, and you don't break down that barrier, right? You keep it there. It is something that the adversary cannot, will not, and has never been able to overcome. Now, and you also see in the end of verse 11, and they did not love their lives to the death, meant they trusted the Lord.
Amen.
They were not trying to save their own souls. They were not trying to save themselves. They were not apprehensive or doubtful as to whether or not the blood was enough for them. And they were confident that their entirety of hope and trust being placed in the Messiah and that blood was going to be sufficient. They didn't have any backup routes. And you see through the Gospels, the Lord says that if you try to save your own life, you're going to lose it, right? Mm-hmm. But he who loses his life for the sake of Christ will gain it.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. So let's go to chapter 7 of Revelation, verse 14.
We're going to back up on that one, too. Oh. We're going to start in verse 9 so everybody can get a full picture of what is happening and why, right? And then, we're talking about the blood of Christ, so the importance of the blood.
All right.
Right? So it says, after these things, this is, again, Revelation 7, starting in verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne mm-hmm. and worshiped God, saying, amen. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from? I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. All right.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So again, that blood, that's the only thing that you could ever take something white or a robe and put it in something red and then it comes out white. That's the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, he is our amen. And keeping that in mind, that it's impenetrable. It is a force of delivery that is so powerful, so efficient, so all-encompassing. That means surrounding on every side that you could think of. The power that is contained in the blood is matchless. There is no other like it.
So there's two things, you know, as you brought up. The blood is impenetrable.
Mm-hmm.
It is the blood which brings forth the salvation.
Amen. But
this is in both of the sections of scripture we've read, that blood caused or brought about salvation. We often think of it in the sense of, oh yeah, we've been redeemed by the blood. We've been saved. Well, it's saved. Let's get to the core of it, is salvation. So let's understand that, and now we can understand how to utilize it as a weapon, right?
Amen. And so sometimes we pin that salvation just in the royal sense of you don't go to hell,
right,
and you get to go to heaven, but it's so much more than that. And the way we use it as a weapon is first through salvation, absolutely, mm-hmm. but then there has to be a daily application of it.
Amen.
And an application to everything else that's in addition to your soul, because salvation gets the royal salvation, we'll just put it like that so we can be clear about it. The royal salvation that saves you from hell, that's for your soul.
Amen.
But
even with that, right? Let's understand this. You were not saved until you came in under the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ had to be applied to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, now you were made whole and clean and pure, lacking nothing, right? You were washed white as snow, right? David says that in the Psalms, right? Mm-hmm. Clean me with hyssop and I'll be pure. Well, the hyssop was used it was dipped into the blood and the blood was then sprinkled on the mercy seat, right? So to make atonement, right? Propitiation for sins, right? So it was covered, it wiped them out, it removed them, right? So we have to understand that, because now you can utilize this blood as a weapon. Just like you were not made pure, clean, whole, regenerated in the Lord, made a new creation until you came in under the blood while you were still a sinner. Mm-hmm. Now you can go and say, speak to whatever it is, right? The prison systems, the education system, your business, your home, right? Whatever it is, your community, your state, and you can plead and apply the blood of Jesus over it. So now the Lord is and he's already moving, but now salvation can be brought.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Now let's go to Exodus 12 just to get a little bit more insight.
Example.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
So where would you like to start in Exodus 12, honey?
Well, how about, let's start in verse 12. Does that work?
You want to start in verse 12? Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, you said chapter 12, right?
Chapter 12, I was thinking verse 6 through 13 and then 22 okay, through 25.
Let's do that. Verse 6 through 13.
Okay.
Talking about the Passover.
Actually, verse 5.
Okay, we can read verse 5. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. Mm-hmm. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt.
Okay, can you go to verses 22 through 25 for us?
Absolutely. It says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of that of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this even as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite.
Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, so here's some things that we want to line out about this. The first segment that we read, verses 5 through 13, it's the, I'll say, the spiritual representation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn male. He is without spot or blemish, and he is the one who has blood that will take away, not just cover, take away the sins of the whole world. And then even there's a reference to the fire versus boiling it or raw is hell and Sheol that he referenced. Now there's a, I'll say not a one-to-one translation about eating, you know, like the burning it all so it's gone away, but the wholeness and the intactness of the body of the roasting the entire thing, the entire body without it being broken or cut into pieces and things like that. That's a reference to our Lord and Savior as well. And for the people, looking back at verse 11, when the Lord says to eat it with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. That is an expectation of deliverance. That is akin to the word of their testimony that we read about in Revelation 12. The blood of the lamb and the word of their testimony, the word of their testimony is that they were ready to go. So they applied the blood for the initial salvation of Israel, that night where the destroyer was going through the land. And everyone who did not have the blood applied to their doorposts and their lintels, to their house, right, which is a type and shadow of our body, and the things that are concerning us, everyone who did not have that blood, the destroyer was able to destroy. Everyone who did have the blood, the Lord stood between the destroyer and that one who had the blood applied to the house.
And you had something you wanted to say? You consider it like Job, right?
Yes.
Satan said, you've set a hedge of protection about him and all that he has, and I can't touch it. Right.
I mean, exactly.
So there you have that example. But also, I'll say it in this way. We also were reading, this is a right to be practiced forever.
Exactly.
Right. So this is a weapon that you can utilize, that you can apply forever. It is your right to do so.
Amen. And so the initial, and we could compare it to our initial entrance into being saved, the royal salvation, being saved from the pit, Sheol, hell, right?
Amen.
The second death that we can, and that actually, that's the lake of fire, but all of those together, being saved from that, the spiritual death component, that was the initial applying it when they were literally in Egypt, right? So spiritually, we were in Egypt when we were not saved. But once we've been delivered, do we just let it go? Do we just stop? Absolutely not. Of course not. And you just referenced that.
There was one other thing I was going to bring up.
Okay.
And thank you. You just, the Holy Spirit reminded me as you were speaking.
Okay.
Also the positioning. How were they to eat the Passover meal? Just like a soldier. They are ready to go.
Amen.
They are geared up. They are suited up. They are ready, right? They're moving in haste because the meal isn't the focus.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the work.
The obedience.
The mission.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Being obedient to the commander to accomplish the mission. Our commander in chief being our Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So understanding that. And then now, just because we love him and we're willing to hear his commandments. And then we are not just willing, but also obedient.
Amen.
To execute or carry them out, to fulfill them.
Amen. And there was an expectation of deliverance, expectation Amen. That the blood would do what it was supposed to do,
Amen.
Right? And fulfill its role and its function, which we also saw in Revelation chapter 12. So to keep this before your eyes as a memorial, as a practice that you have to apply the blood of Jesus is, as you said, my love, our right. It's our benefit. It's a part of our covenant with the Lord. And it is not going to work for you unless you apply it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Lord has set the standard, and he said, you now take of what he's already provided. That was included in what we read in Revelation 12, but also the instructions that were given here in Exodus. We know that the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His blood is more than just the delivery for the soul out of Sheol. His blood also is something that we have to value and have to prize, and we have to view it as it's actually designed to be by the Lord and Savior. So we're going to definitely talk about this more, but I just wanted to give you this to ponder on with the Lord. The strategy of applying his blood to every aspect and component of your life. And remember, the initial strategy that we talked about is what? Taking the territory that's right in front of
Amen.
You. So you apply the blood of Jesus to your physical body, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, inside and outside, all the way around through the middle, over every cell of your body, every organ system, every detail that is concerning you. Then you apply the blood to your spouse and your children, your household and your family. Take care of the people first.
Your marriage, your relationships. Exactly.
Exactly. You plead the blood of Jesus, and that's how you do it. You plead the blood of Jesus in the almighty name of Jesus over ... over my body, mm-hmm. and be very detailed and describe it, and pay particular attention to things that are maybe in your physical body that aren't functioning as fully as they're supposed to, and be listening to what the Holy Spirit gives you guidance on concerning that, as far as any specifics you need to take to him in prayer, things like that. But that's how you apply the blood. Take care of immediately in front of you first. That's you, your physical body, like they do on the airplanes. They say, put your oxygen mask on first, then help everybody else, because you're no good if you're passed out, right? Okay. So apply it to you first, then your spouse and your children, everything that's concerning you, your bank accounts, then you branch out to even your name and your identity online, mm-hmm. and things like that, your job, your house,
your vehicles,
your cars,
everything.
Exactly. Houses, cars, vehicles, everything that's associated with your name and what God gave to you. And be detailed as you apply the blood of Jesus.
And by detailed, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, right? So I'll give you an example that the Lord has spoken to us about, mm-hmm. concerning prison ministries,
uh-huh.
right? It was to plead the blood of Jesus over the top of the facility down to the bottom, like the very bottom of the foundation,
mm-hmm.
all the walls, every
mm-hmm.
The land, everything, right? And every window, every cell, every bar, mm-hmm. every
door,
right, whatever's in there, every door, window, exactly. Every pillow, blanket or sheet, every cot, every mm-hmm. piece of paper, every seat, every chair, every bench, mm-hmm. it was literally everything.
The people that would come in and be saturated
mm-hmm. with the blood of Christ.
Even the prisoners in their minds.
Amen.
Absolutely. So the Lord gave very specific instructions, but even here in Exodus, he didn't just say, have the blood in a pot.
Right.
He didn't just say, look at it and, you know, maybe turn around and fan it and make a whirlwind and paint splatter.
These specific things, the doorpost and the lintel.
Exactly. And he said, take a particular item and apply it.
Amen.
Paint it on, if you will, but get it on mm-hmm. these specific locations, because that was the instruction of the Lord. And I want to encourage you to, and the main reason that I'm saying be specific and be detailed is because this is not a lazy man's job. This is not a lazy man's opportunity. So if it matters to you, cover it with the blood. If
you're thinking like any weapon, you have to use it in a skillful manner.
That's right. So if you think, oh, I plead the blood.
Or any weapon system, whatever way you want to phrase it.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that you feel like you don't have time to do. If it seems like this is too hard or extreme for you, then you won't prize it the way that you should. But everywhere that we have discovered and gone through the word, you see there is great focus and emphasis, prizing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not something that we take lightly or trample underfoot. So be detailed. And then you've learned to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as you are going. And this is something he's already stated in his word that's a part of our arsenal. So we have the right to use it. We don't have to go, do you, is it okay for me to use the blood? No, he's already said yes. The answer is yes, 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 and amen. So apply the blood, but take an approach that you're willing to go the extra mile with it. You're willing to be detailed. And also listen to the Holy Spirit as you're doing this so he can give you guidance and direction. But the starting points, you know that he wants to cover you. Your family, you and your household shall be saved. That's a promise from the Lord. He wants to cover the house that he's given you, the vehicles, and .. et cetera, as far as the Lord will expand it. And as you become confident in using this strategy in your life and you build up your faith in the blood of Jesus, the impenetrable force and boundary that is around your life when the blood is applied, not just the initial salvation component, but when you literally apply it on a daily basis to your stuff and your things, you'll see the protection that God provides, just like we see the example of here in Exodus. So be faithful as you do that and let Holy Spirit continue to minister to you about this. And I think that's just about all we have to talk about for today. So we're going to let you meditate on that with the Lord.
Amen.
And this is something, read these scriptures, go back by yourself, read these, let the Lord minister and get to work on it. There's no need to delay. And the only one who wants you to be delayed is the adversary because he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't give him that opportunity. We're going to put that shield up and keep it there, right? That hedge of protection. Yeah. All right. So we love you. We are praying for you. And remember to live your life in the Messiah's love. God bless you.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says subscribe.